Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run, Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
So the D-backs B team lose to the Dodgers, but it's given us plenty of food for thought about which plucky team might best topple the Wicked Witch of the NL West, and who'll be wielding the bucket full of water to do it. I've made too many Wizard of Oz references already. We're talking D-backs and Dodgers, coming up next. Welcome back, everybody, to the T-backs podcast, home of all the hottest Diamondbacks tea and talk from across the pond here in London. We're proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. Today, we're looking towards the business end of the NL West, where most pundits expect the Los Angeles Dodgers to run away with the crown, and the D-backs are seemingly the only team who might have more than an outside chance of stopping them. And, you know, that's no shade to the Giants and the Padres, but I think it's, you know, pretty much undisputed at this point that we had a better stove league than y'all. You know, Paven Smith is ready to beat up on Justin Verlander in a moment he steps foot on the field in San Francisco, and San Diego have banked everything on getting Roky Sasaki, missed out on him, and wound up with Nick Pivetta. So in this two-horse race, I think we have to say it's the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks for the NL West. So today we're going to make some comparisons about, you know, how do the two teams rank against each other, in which positions, who's going to be having the major battles, and what's going to potentially set it apart. We're going to break in down some of the things that we've seen in terms of the Dodgers spring training compared to the Diamondbacks, how they are looking based on the game today head-to-head, which, you know, wasn't really a contest, but, you know, this was essentially Yoshinobu Yamamoto against, you know, a bunch of single-A and double-A guys and a few Reno veterans. Not exactly the major league clash that we're going to be talking about when it comes to comparisons in this episode. So let's get right into it. The Dodgers may have, you know, a crazy 1-2-3-4 starting pitcher rotation, but, you know, so do the Diamondbacks. We're, you know, arguably six deep, potentially even, you know, there are nine guys could be starting pitchers in 2025, and none of them would be out of place on a major league roster. We've seen a couple of moves today in news breaking, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But let's start at the top of the rotation. Corbin Burnes leads MLB since 2020 amongst all pitchers with over 800 innings pitched, and he leads them in ERA, WHIP, Sierra, hard hit percentage, and K percentage. You know, second in the rotation, Zach Gallen, best knuckle curve in the National League, arguably in all of baseball. Third up, Merrill the mainstay, Merrill Kelly, posted an ERA below 3.4 every year with over 170 Ks a year in his entire major league. Then we have, you know, Erod, Brandon Pfaadt, Ryan Nelson, Jordan Montgomery, Yumin Lin, and Yilber Diaz in the conversation of the starters who are currently above the cut, or as of today, option to start the year in Reno if you're talking about Yilber Diaz. He's been one of three guys who've been cut from the roster and option to Reno today. But, you know, people's knee jerk is to assume that the Dodgers' five guys are automatically better. But, you know, just like the real Five Guys burger brand, actually, that's not the case. Just because they're more expensive, that doesn't make them better. I don't care how many bag fries you get extra with your order. Five Guys is not better than, you know, that guy down the road who makes the best burger out of the back of a van you've ever had. Just because you pay, you know, here in the UK, £15 for a burger doesn't make it good. There's been a whole trend on TikTok about that this week. But yeah, the Dodgers Five Guys, not automatically better. They don't have the depth that the Diamondbacks do either. And, you know, what do you say to that? You know, even if Jordan Montgomery right now is, you know, being shopped around still, but they're potentially going to be used as a trade chip by Mike Hazen heading to New York following the news that Gerrit Cole out for the year is going to have Tommy John tomorrow as we're recording this. So yeah, the Yankees desperately need a starting pitcher, and, you know, maybe Giancarlo Stanton is out for the year as well. So I think it was Goldschmidt Happens on Twitter, shout out to that account, love their stuff. It said, you know, Paven Smith and Jordan Montgomery to cash considerations is going to hit like crack. Yeah, I think that would be pretty sweet. But, you know, I said about who I might like from the Yankees when we talked about, you know, were the Diamondbacks going to trade Zach Gallen. I want Spencer Jones. I don't care if we know we've got plenty of of solid outfielders already. I want Spencer Jones. I like that guy's aura. I reckon we can go and get it. But yeah, let's look at these pitchers in a bit more of a comparison compared to the Dodgers. We're going to compare probably the number one guys in both rotations. I think, you know, Corbin Burns is undisputably the number one guys in the Diamondbacks rotation. And then it's sort of all up in the air about who might be number one in the Dodgers. But, you know, we saw him today. We're talking Yoshinobu Yamamoto. In Corbin Burns' free agency, Yamamoto was the player he was compared to the most in terms of both value and potential contact numbers. So let's go head-to-head with those Aces stats. Corbin Burns versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Burns was fifth in Cy Young voting last year, whereas, you know, no Dodger made the top 10. As far as the numbers games go, Burns was 15-9 in 32 starts, and he posted an ERA of 2.92 in just over 194 innings, and in that time he got 181 strikeouts. Yamamoto was 7-2 in 18 games with an ERA of 3.00 dead, with 90 innings pitched and 105 strikeouts, but, you know, he did miss 14 starts with tricep issues in their right arm. Although, you know, that's largely not been a bother for them in spring training this year. You know, he was really quite impressive today, even though he was pitching against, you know, not career major league guys for the most part. It's hard to call who could have the better year between those two guys. Obviously, they're both fantastic pitchers, but projections have Yamamoto around 150, 160 innings and a 4.0 WAR. But you'd also imagine that the Dodgers are keen to avoid another IL stint with an asset that valuable. I think, could we really say that, yeah, his fitness and potentially if something goes wrong with that arm is a major weakness, and that's something they're concerned about. Clearly they are. You know, he got through five innings in spring training and was the first Dodgers pitcher to do that as of today. But he got through five innings, and they were clearly very quick to yank him the moment he hit that pitch count. And, you know, with this being their last Cactus League game for him, and his last little warm-up before they go off to Tokyo, you know, I think they're maybe being quite cautious with him. I think, you know, that's clear that there might be a weakness, you know, either physical or mental that could result in physical that results in an injury there for Yamamoto. Like, he's a great pitcher, but, like, if you can't be a great pitcher for an entire season, can you really call yourself a proper ace? Like, you know, people have talked about, you know, some fantastic pitchers this generation starting to reach the twilight of their career and starting to shut it down. You know, Corbin Carroll continues to almost single-handedly make a campaign to end Clayton Kershaw's career. And, you know, he's a guy who's pretty much on the periphery around the Dodgers now. They've got so many starting pitchers that they've spent, you know, $20, $30, $100, $200, $300 million dollars on. Yeah, we saw Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus the Diamondbacks today. And yeah, of course, he obviously did well up against, you know, second and third and maybe even fourth string guys with, you know, most of those main threats when it comes to Diamondbacks hitting having been on the road playing the A's in Las Vegas so far this in the weekend. So it's not exactly a major test for Yamamoto. That it was more like, the Diamondbacks had pretty much written that game off to begin with just because of looking at who they were fielding. It was just, you know, we had to play the game. We put some guys out there. They played the baseball game. They didn't really have much of a chance of winning. Whereas, you know, Dodgers had, you know, so many guys. You know, you saw Hyesung Kim, and he was so hyped. And he was the second choice guy today. You saw Otani. You saw Tommy Edman. And we'll talk about Otani in a minute. But, you know, Freddie Freeman played in this game. No Mookie Betts, but, you know, Hyesung Kim came in, run the bases. You saw Will Smith. You saw Andy Páez. So, yeah. That's pretty much Dodgers, not full strength, because missing Mookie Betts is obviously, you're missing Mookie Betts. But other than that, I think it's easy to say that Dodgers team around the diamond is pretty much the strongest they have to go. And, you know, they didn't blow away all these Diamondbacks prospects. And, you know, Yamamoto, pretty impressive. Like, I have eyes, I'm not blind. Yamamoto was good. But compared to, you know, the guys that Corbin Burns has faced so far in spring training and how Corbin Burns has done, Burns is hardly out of the question when it comes to comparison of quality between those two guys. And in fact, I'd argue, you know, Corbin Burns has very similar amounts and strengths that Yoshinobu has, Yamamoto has, but probably less overall weaknesses. He's played more Major League games. Full respect to the NPB in Japan, but Corbin Burns has played a lot more Major League games than Yoshinobu Yamamoto has, and that experience, I think, serves him a lot better. Like, Yamamoto got beat up in his Major League debut and clearly was shell-shocked when they played those games in that game in Seoul against the San Diego Padres, and he gave up 6 runs in the first inning on his debut and was not quite indoctrinated to play as a Major League pitcher just yet. Whereas Corbin Burns has that experience, has learned from it, and I think is going to prove to be the more reliable of the two guys this year. Burns himself has only one real area of concern highlighted this offseason in spring training, and it's not even actually anything to do with his pitching. It's the fact that he is allowing a lot more stolen bases. You know, in 2023, he allowed 11. In 2024, it was 42. But we can certainly expect that stat to drop because you have a catcher as defensively elite as Gabby Moreno behind the dish. Jose Herrera probably is facing a stint on the IL, so that's the number two catcher going down. So Adrian Del Castillo is being his backup. It's Christian Scherzer as well is going to be in that conversation. He's looked okay in spring training as well. But with ADC likely more on the periphery as a backup catcher and part-time DH, and Gabby Moreno back to full fitness and playing pretty much every game, that defense gets stronger still. Burns arrived with the statement, y'all ready to win a shit ton of games? And that's exactly what the D-backs need to bring the fight to the Dodgers. And that's really been boosted as well by an increase in Corbin Burns' velocity that's sort of come from nowhere. And, you know, when Corbin Burns was asked about it, he said, you know, he couldn't really explain it either. He hasn't changed his mechanics. He's not trying to throw it harder. He's just naturally in better shape already. So I think if you want an explanation for that, I think we just have to say that year-round Arizona sun really can have health benefits after all, apparently. Now, all joking aside, let's talk Shohei Ohtani, because we saw him today and, yeah, he led off, did well as the leadoff hitter in the first inning, didn't do anything else really after that. But he is Shohei Ohtani, so understandably he is in the MVP conversation in Major League Baseball this year. But can we really expect the heights of last year? If he's planning on pitching too, as well as just, you know, being the DH for the Dodgers, then surely when he's in the box or on base, Dave Roberts, who has apparently agreed to a contract extension today, if you want a bit of side notes, surely Dave Roberts is wrapping Shohei's, especially his arm, but pretty much wrapping Shohei's entire body in cotton wool, you know, trying to avoid injuries. And you saw today, Shohei took he fouled off a ball really bad, like just below his knee, above where that shin guard starts. And clearly he was hurting from that. And he came out of the game immediately after that, at the end of that at bat, because he just swung wildly. And yeah, if you were watching on the international broadcast, you were subjected to the Dodgers commentary. And, you know, there was the regular amount of glazing going on with that commentary. But they were saying, yeah, man, Shohei does not look right. He does not look okay. So, you know, it's not like, you know, season-ending injury, blows up his own knee kind of shit. But, you know, that's what they're really going to want to avoid. Of course, the Dodgers have fantastic hitters, but you lose Shohei Ohtani now? That's going to be a colossal blow for the start of their year. And, you know, they're going to lose a few billion dollars just from, you know, Tokyo series lost revenue if Ohtani doesn't play. But, you know, if he does pick up these injuries, if he does, you know, get roughed up, if he does pitch as well as hit, and you got to protect his arm, you got to maybe expect him to not be taking as many risks when it comes to stealing bases. So, yeah, you're probably not going to get a 50-50 season again. And, you know, maybe he just won't be that good as he was last year. Like, maybe last year was an anomaly. And yeah, I know that's a big ask, but, you know, Dre Jameson absolutely blew him away today. And, you know, on a side note, it's real nice to see Dre Jameson throwing well, throwing hard, starting to push into that closer conversation. And, you know, he wasn't world class with today. He wasn't like shut down 3 guys, no questions asked. His location still left a lot to be desired, but the velocity is clearly there. So we're going to call that a step in the progressive direction. But when it comes to Ohtani and we're speaking about MVP candidates, let's make some comparisons there. Corbin Carroll already being labeled as a dark horse for MVP by, you know, those guys who know ball. And he's adopted that Ohtani-esque approach, that Ohtani stance adjustments to hitting in spring training this year. And he's raked. And, you know, also, let's not forget Ketel Marte. It's third in voting last year in overall in NL MVP voting, despite having missed 8 weeks of the season. And he's been, Ketel Marte has been dubbed by some, and this including, you know, the likes of Jake from John Boy, the best second baseman in baseball. And I'm not entirely sure that he has any real consistent competitors for that title. And the question that I'd potentially ask you, the audience, having seen Hyesung Kim today, and, you know, all the screaming and shouting that Dodgers fans have been doing about him, and how, you know, the Dodgers commentators were like, oh yeah, Hyesung Kim's going to come in and be a pinch runner, and then da-da-da-da-da, Hyesung Kim this, Hyesung Kim that. I didn't see anything else from today. It's like, oh no, he's suddenly all of a sudden the best second baseman in baseball. Not by a long shot. I don't actually think he recorded a hit today, if I'm remembering to get the game correctly. And I'm probably going a bit senile if I'm misremembered, because the game only finished, you know, 20 minutes ago. But can he really live up to the hype and compete the way that most Dodgers fans have been telling anyone who'll listen on socials, compared to, you know, the guy that we know Ketel Marte is? You know, highest rated Diamondbacks player on the show, by the way, ratings revealed this week, 96 rated Diamond Ketel Marte at second base. Hyesung Kim is not him, and Ketel may be a bit slower than Hyesung Kim is, but Hyesung Kim did nothing but run today, despite having plenty of opportunities to do everything else against, let's be honest, what is less than elite pitching for the Diamondbacks. So I think that's an easy head-to-head victory for the Diamondbacks there too. Ultimately, the division might come down to who's best on the field on the day. And last year, looking at the record between the D-backs and the Dodgers, it was not a bloodbath. The Dodgers claimed 24-7-6, but, you know, I think we have to be honest, that one win that got them those bragging rights was a Paul Sewald disaster class in Chavez Ravine, and we as Diamondbacks fans know we won't be seeing any of them today, or tomorrow, or the rest of the year, because Paul Sewald doesn't play for us anymore. We have, you know, so many guys who potentially could be the closer. It could be AJ Puck. It could be Justin Martinez. It could be Dre Jameson. It could be somebody else if we go and trade for somebody. And I think maybe that trade for a closer type window is closing pretty quickly. And I don't think we're going to see that now from the Diamondbacks. Feel free to prove me wrong, Mike Hazen, if you're listening. But yeah, with that written off, we can almost write off that debt of, yeah, Paul Sewald's not going to blow a save. Paul Sewald's not going to give the Dodgers pretty much a free win away at Chavez Ravine this year. Whoever our closer is going to be, it's not going to be somebody who throws a 90-mile-an-hour meatball as their fastball. Paul Sewald got as far as he did into his career because he had that unique pitching motion. But, you know, there was a point where, you know, to quote an old football Twitter quote, it's time to go. And I think that's from Arsenal Fan TV, isn't it? God, you know, I'm frankly amazed that somehow I'm managing to quote Arsenal Fan TV on an Arizona Diamondbacks podcast. But, you know, here we are. That's what you get when you subscribe to a podcast with a British host. So, yeah, let's get back on track. So, despite today's result in Camelback Ranch, there is plenty of evidence that, you know, the Dodgers can be toppled. This was their full string guys, pretty much, you know, sans Mookie Betts, if you want a little asterisk attached to it. But if the Diamondbacks can come close today with, you know, Paven Smith playing first, no real starting pitcher, then, you know, imagine the heights that first choice guys can reach against the Dodgers, if that's the standard that they're setting. You know, heck, even Scott McGuff struck out Shohei Ohtani today, and then he went ahead and got Edmund and Freeman to retire the side. So when it comes to surprises and upsets, the D-backs are your team. Scott McGuff, not a guy any of us really, I think, are expecting to make that major league roster. I think he's probably should have been out of opportunities, you know, with some of his master classes in giving up 10-plus ERA in an inning sometimes last year. I'd be here for a Scott McGuff redemption arc. You know, I have a soft spot for, you know, some of our pitchers who have gone and played in Asia. You know, Merrill Kelly played for, you know, the SK Wyverns, now the SSG Landers in the KBO. And he came back better than ever. And we went and got him from the KBO because we saw that that was a place to go and do X, Y, and Z. So, yeah, Scott McGuff redemption arc as the closer, picking up that role that he had when he was playing for the Yakult Swallows in Japan. Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to see that. But yeah, we are more than just the wild card in terms of, you know, we'll be fighting for a wild card spot. I think we are the wild card in terms of the division. In terms of today, the main man today was Gabby Moreno, of course, two hits, including a solo homer. And, you know, other than Corbin Carroll, and who's just come back from a back injury, who went 0 for 3 today, and he was, you know, clearly just, you know, working on settling back into being on the diamond in the ballpark. He had one sort of defensive mix-up where he dropped a fly ball, didn't get there in the outfield today, and Khalid was running in a way different, not to try and, you know, not overstretch himself. He was focused on, you know, regaining some fitness instead of playing at 100%, 10%, and potentially aggravating an injury. Aside from Corbin, Gabby was the only real major leaguer who can expect plenty of appearances in the majors this year who started the game today. Alec Thomas started in center field, made one real good defensive play, pinched out. So we saw the likes of, you know, Slade Caldwell come in and play today. We saw Ildemar Vargas start, who's vying for a spot, but he's going to be potentially a third choice shortstop behind Gerardo Perdomo and Jordan Lawler. He's going to be, you know, at least second choice at second base behind Ketel Marte. He's going to be at least second choice at third base behind Eugenio Suarez, and potentially third choice behind, if we're going to play Jordan Lawler there as well, and Suarez is going to DH. So Ildemar Vargas, yes, deserves a spot on the major league roster and probably will get it, but not an everyday major leaguer. Pavin Smith, because we have Josh Naylor, he's not going to be an everyday major leaguer, and I think there will be quite a few Diamondbacks fans who agree with me that that's probably for the best. So yeah, Gabby and Corbin really the only two guys, and Gabby the only 100% fit everyday major leaguer to play in this game today for the Diamondbacks versus, you know, 8 out of 9 of the Dodgers' strongest lineup starting for them today, and, you know, they didn't blow us away. The final score was 6-2. Dodgers scoring 6 runs off of 9 hits, Diamondbacks scoring 2 runs off of 4 hits. So the ratio there is about the same, and the quality of pitching from the Dodgers was from their ace as opposed to, you know, from, you know, 7 random guys plus Dre Jameson and Bryce Jarvis for the Diamondbacks today. So, you know, these two things are not the same. If we're looking at a game where, you know, every team fields their strongest players, and that's the way that you have to approach a major league season, especially going into, you know, important grudge series against your divisional rivals, I think the Diamondbacks probably edge it. I think they are stronger, and that's not me just looking at something with, you know, snakeskin and purple and teal tinted spectacles. That's me saying, hang on a minute. Every major baseball pundit has us at least a dark horse for a wild card spot, has us a dark horse for long run late into the playoffs if things come together our way this year. And when we get the rest of the big boys back from the lads' trip to Vegas, I think we can expect a very different story. That's going to sort of summarize all of my thoughts following today's game against the Dodgers, and we're going to end the episode there. So we want to say thank you very much to the friends of the show. We're thank you very much to Home Run Travel, who, if you fancy seeing some Major League Baseball action and you're based in the UK or anywhere in America and you want to go on a road trip along the West Coast or the East Coast this year with the Home Run Travel Company, you can make that happen. So make sure you go follow them at Home Run Travel on pretty much every social media platform. And I also got a plug when we're doing socials. Please follow the show wherever it is that you're listening / watching. Please go and follow us over on Instagram and on X at DBACS Podcast, and follow us on TikTok over at TBACS. We've got some cool exclusive short form stuff coming up on our socials, which are not going to be podcast episodes. It's going to be something else interesting coming up later in the week. So make sure you're following so you don't miss out on that. Thank you very much for listening to the show. We will see you on the next episode. Goodbye.